Now we come to the gospel. As I pointed out several times, the gospel sets the tone. The first reading, you see, is already trying to develop that theme of the gospel. And so we have Abraham welcoming these three who become one. The mystery of the Trinity. And welcoming his word, which finally brings forth Isaac, his son, who is the heir and the fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment to Abraham, which we are still experiencing now in our own day. We're children of Abraham because we're children of his faith. And we believe in the one that he was promised. Okay. Now we're at the gospel. The other end is another welcoming. And in between, we've had these texts which fit beautifully into this, I welcome the suffering because I am making up in the way I tried to explain for the sufferings of Christ here on earth. Okay. So, this text. As they continued their journey, he entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who, seated at the feet of the Lord, was listening to his word. She had a sister called Mary, and she, seated at his feet, was listening to his logos, listening to his word. She was welcoming the logos. She was welcoming the word, you see? And Mary, distracted with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." Now our Lord wants to make this an object lesson, not only to Martha, the busy one, or to Martha, or to Mary, the listening one, but to you and to me. You see? Tell her to help me. The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and distracted about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Now, most of us good practical Americans say, "What a jip. She's just sitting there enjoying Jesus, and the other one's getting the supper ready, setting the table, doing all that stuff." And then Jesus tells Martha, she's really got the better job. You know, she's really got the better part. Well, we have to think about this then, don't we? You see, it starts this way. What about us is the greatest? What we receive or what we produce? Now let's take it at a very basic level. We receive existence. We don't produce our own existence. So our basic reality is one of receptivity, welcoming, in this case, our existence. That's the basic attitude of welcoming, receiving. Now, that, in the lives of the saints, you see what that means? It means that they are following the directions of the Holy Spirit all the time. They are listening and following. They're not just doing. They're listening. And the Lord can move them. I think we have a great example right now in our Pope. He listens to the Lord. And he does things. Even when they're difficult or provocative, he does them. Because he's first listening. Welcoming the Word. And that is our vocation. It's the better part. We just heard Jesus say so. You see? There's only one thing necessary, being modified by my word. That's the basis. Do you have to eat? Of course you have to eat. Do you have to sleep? Yeah. Do you have to be nice to your neighbor? Of course. But, you see, there's only one thing that is kriya, necessary. I forgot how they translate that. Well, there is need of only one thing, is this translation. I don't have another one with me. Oh, yes, I do. I think I have another one, I think, here. You know, the text says, you see, Enos of one, there is kriya. Need, yeah, like that. It's only one thing really needed. And Mary has chosen this better part. The good part, it says, really. And it won't be taken away from her. Because she's paying attention to me. She's listening to me. Now, good practical souls that we are, we say, well, if everybody did that, there'd never be any breakfast on the table. You know? Who'd run the church? You know, who'd be collecting money for the missionary if we were all hanging around like Mary? Well, there's two things you have to understand about this. First, what does this mean, you see, that she was listening to his word? It means she's going to be changed by him. Then when she acts like Paul, it's Christ in her, the hope of glory. It's not just my human activity building the church, which I can't do anyway. You see how this goes back then to that first temptation? You know, you want to do something useful? You see? I'm sorry, it wasn't in our readings today. It was, but that whole idea of the gospel. If you want to do something useful, change all these stones into bread. Get useful. And if you start doing that, you see, you will lose your touch with the Father. Does that mean if we all do nothing, we'll all be saints? No. It means if we do, if we listen, and listen means carry out. You see? What the Lord is telling us, that's what our Lord calls the good part, or the best part. I forgot how the translations go now. Wait a minute, I got one here somewhere. Better part. All right. What's the better part? Listening to Jesus. You know nothing but just listen all day? No. Listening means welcoming the Word. And welcoming the Word means giving it existence. But it's the Word of the Lord that I've received. I'm not just running around, you know, doing what I think He wants. I found out from Him what He wants. Because, you see, if I'm not close to Jesus myself, how can I tell anybody about Him? How can you tell anybody about Him? Tell your kids, tell your relatives. How can you tell anybody? You've got to know Jesus. In fact, you know, it was Benedict XVI who began to say the whole church must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he defined it as what? You know, being aware of what we have received in baptism and confirmation. And now, Pope Francis is carrying out this holy year, this year of faith, also instituted by the previous Pope, Pope Benedict. And what is that? What is the theme, you see, of these things? It's listening. You see, it's the Word of God. The theme is an encounter with Jesus. That's the theme. It's not more work, you know. I don't know why, but every time I get into this sort of a situation about myself or anybody else, I remember in the souk in Jerusalem. Say I wanted a pair of sandals. So I'm talking to the guy, and I'd like a pair of sandals. I want them brown, if you please. And he said, well, I don't have any brown, but I got some black ones, and you'll love them. You see, that's what I do to the Lord. He says, do this. Well, I don't want to do that, and I'm busy anyway, so I'll do this, and you'll love it. He won't love it. He's God. He's the Lord of the church. I'm not going to tell him my plans. He's going to tell me his plans. That's the heart of the better part. The better part isn't just hanging around doing nothing. It's receiving the Word and giving it existence. It's the same thing we've seen from the beginning of this commentary on this 16th Sunday. Welcoming the Word. We have to do that. Then the Word can have its way with us, can change us. And we can do things we never thought we could do before, because we have received the word. Does that mean, you know, waiting a long time? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on, you know, what the situation is. But you've heard me tell the story before of Honi the circle drawer. I'm going to tell you another time. You know, out in that part of the world is the rain, the early rains in the fall, and the early rains in the spring, and the late rains in the fall. Well, they weren't getting any rain. And, you know, that's serious out there. Because if there's no rain, everything's going to dry up, and there'll be nothing. No grain, no flowers, nothing. So they said to Honi, "Honi, pray. We need rain." And so he's the reputation of a holy man. "Pray, Honi, ask the Lord, give us rain." So he's praying and praying and praying, and nothing's happening. So finally, he draws a circle in the ground. You know the rest of the story by this time. I've told it so many times. And he stands in the middle of the circle, and he says, "Lord God, Master of the universe, may you be praised and glorified forever. I am not stepping out of this circle until you give us rain." And boom, the rain came down. Now, that's what it means. I'm not going to undertake all these projects until I know which one you want. I'm going to sit at your feet and wait. Oh, Lord, if we would only do that, how much wasted time and energy and money we could save the Lord and the church. Listening to him first, getting a sense of his word, what does he want, and loving him for his word, for his instruction, for his guidance, for his support, for his forgiveness, knowing Jesus. Because if we know Jesus, we have something to share. We have something to share with everybody. Even if we don't ever mention his name, in our conduct, in our love, in our concern, especially for the poor. You notice how many times our present Pope speaks about caring for the poor. It's a solemn duty of the Church. And if we're listening, we will hear that word from the Lord, as the Pope does, and we will find a way from the Lord to do it and care for those in need. Let them see the face of Christ. Have compassion. That's the word of the Lord. So you see, what Mary is doing right is listening to the Lord, letting the Lord's word change her. Then when she acts, it is now not I living, it is Christ in me. Or again, I make up in my own body what is wanting to the sufferings of Christ. The mystery of Christ is taking place, is coursing through my body and my mind. And that's what it means. You see, the Spirit is praying in us. He's praying the prayer of Christ in heaven in us, giving it once again historical, physical presence on earth. And that prayer is for the salvation, relief, the comfort of all those who are lonely and frightened and suffering, the poor. And we have to be the church of the poor. Well, how can we do that unless we listen to him and are strengthened by him and given wisdom from him to know what to do? Amen.